You know, a thing that's amazing, if you ride down the road sometime, you'll see somebody with a grader. They'll be grading the street or grading down some trees, and you begin to, you know, as you ride by, you say, wonder what they're getting ready to do right there. And you might see them dig out some dirt, and you'll see big trucks, dump trucks, hauling off the dirt, getting ready to take it somewhere. You say, I wonder if they're going to build something right there. And then you might eventually start seeing sticks, and you might see lines or string going from one stick to another. And before long, you might see concrete being poured. And you see pipes sticking out, and you know they're getting ready to build something there. Then you look 2 or 3 weeks later, if the economy is good. You see crews out there, and you might see a building going up. You might see what you call a stick building. You don't see walls yet, but you see the wood is going to make walls. And then you go a little further, maybe 2 or 3 weeks down the road, you start seeing a wall, and you start trying to figure out, what is this going to be? I know it's going to be a building. You get an idea. And as you go little by little, after a period of time, you see the walls go on, the siding, the sign, and you say, oh, this is a drugstore, or oh, this is a Walmart, or whatever it is, you see it. But what many people fail to realize, that at one particular time, this was somebody's idea. This was somebody's thought, and the architect drew, and the surveyor showed exactly where this would have to be. They had measuring coordinates that the corner would be here, that the other corner would be there, and this is how the floor would be poured, however thick it was going to be, where the pipes would be, and where each wall would be. And they even get down to the place where they know exactly how many 2x4s would be in it, whether they're metal 2x4s. Wooden 2x4s, where the walls would be and what would be on it. Now, if something goes wrong, they have to make adjustments. Well, I submit to you, just like when they build that building, if the bathroom is supposed to be on the left side, trust me, if they try to put it on the right side and the plumbing is not there, they have a problem. Each room, each member, as it is called when you're doing construction, has a place to be, and they do not get to determine their own place. Like that window that you see there, it did not determine that it would be there. I determined where that window was going to be. I determined how high it would be off of the floor. I determined how high it would be, low it would be from the ceiling. When it comes to the family of God, God determines each one of our positions. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about that. It talks about the differing gifts that God places in the body. And each one is placed there by Him. Well, when we look at this passage today, you think about those that are familiar with that, where people have gifts of health, miracles, healings, different things, and God gives those. Paul gives that illustration and talks about it. Also talks about how the body is set up. The eyes can't do the job of the hand. The hand can't do the job of the eye. It can try. If someone's blind, it can try to do the job. It can do some, but it's not the same. Because the eye doesn't have to touch to see across the street. Well, in this passage today, in Ezekiel chapter 48, we have God having restored the family, getting ready to show the blessings that He has for each one. And each of them will have a portion. But each one is going to have the portion where He sets it. He is the one that's going to determine the portion, the length, the width, and exactly where it is on the map. And what we need to understand from looking at this passage today is however God deals with the family there, trust me, this is how He's going to deal with the family in the future. Let's be a little frugal, and let's go back a little bit to where we were on Thursday. If we go back to where we were on Thursday, I want to just kind of bring us a little bit up to speed on where we were Thursday. if you will, Dree, go to the 47th chapter. We're working today with chapter number 48, but I do want us to just get a little taste, because we're going to use a lot of maps today. And so by using maps, I want us to be able to get a view of what's going on. Read 47 and 1 for me, please.
Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east.
Okay, read on.
For the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar.
You can go ahead and say where you are. It's fine.
Next, he brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east.
I just want us to be able to just get a clue of what's going on, because in the middle of the inheritance, of the blessings, of the promises that God is going to give his children, he's there. And thus, when God is in the family, he distributes his blessings to each one to fulfill his purpose. So it's saying that the water is coming from under. Read it again, Dree. I'm going to roll this. I would change the color of my arrow, but I think you all can see it. Go ahead, Dree. Read it again.
Next, he brought me out by way of, the water was coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple.
And this water is coming down from under the south side of the threshold of the temple, and what else?
South of the altar.
South of the altar. Here is the altar. And the altar is in front of the temple proper. Go ahead.
Next, he brought me out by way of the north gate.
And he brings me out from the top. If you look at the map here, this is going to be the area of Palestine. This is the Great Sea, the Mediterranean. So when it's talking about the north, it's going up this way towards Turkey. The east is going to be going this way toward Iran and Iraq. The south is going to be going down toward Egypt and Saudi Arabia. So you may forget this, but I want us to be able to get a visual mentally, as well as to kind of get what you see. Go ahead, Dree.
He brought me out by way of the north gate.
And he brought him out. Now notice the water is down here, but he brought him out the way of the north gate. In other words, not the water is following him. You see where the water is here at the south of the altar, and this is south at the bottom. But he brings him out the way of the north gate. Go ahead.
To the outer gate that faced east.
To the outer gate that faced east. Okay?
There the water was trickling from the south side.
There the water was trickling, coming out from the east gate to the south side. Go ahead.
As the man went out east with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off a third of a mile.
Now what I want to do is I'm going to open up one of these maps in here, and I want you to be able to see how this is going on, so that we'll be able to look and see exactly what's going on. So I open this up, and I'm going to pull down toward the bottom here. Now, this is the same map that we have up here. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So the temple proper is going to be right here, and he brought him out toward the east. That's the same as if we're going toward Iran and Iraq. The water is going to trickle down and come toward this Dead Sea, or this Salt Sea. Does that help those that didn't see what I said Thursday night? The waters are going to come this way and run down into what is called, it's going to come out. He came out from the north, but the water is coming out from the east and is going downward toward the Salt Sea. Okay? I hope that helps a little bit. Because for us to see what's going on, that water is going to be going through some of the land. As you can see on my picture, you see part of the land that God has given them as an inheritance already there. This is the part of the blessing that God had for them. How do you know this is a blessing, Tim? God told Abraham before, look at the land. As far as you see, I'm going to give it to you and your seed. Yeah, he did. He told them that. And one time they had more than this. But because of their ungodliness, and their unrighteousness, they lost a lot of the benefits that God had for them. Now, if you will, go to 48, and let's go to 48, and let's deal with what we're talking about today, because I really wanted to bring that out. I thought it would be advantageous to make us see, and then we may pull some more stuff that I have in chapter 47, but I need to work with 48 to get us to where we need to be. If you will, go to 48 and 1, please, Dree.
So, Holman.
Yeah, you can go to Holman.
Now these are the names of the tribes. From the northern end, along the road of Hethlon to Lebo-Hamath, as far as Hazar-Enon, at the northern border of Damascus, alongside Hamath, and extending from the eastern side to the sea, will be Dan.
Now, when you talk about Dan, Brother Charles, Dan is one of the descendants or one of the children that came from the concubine. Would you call them wives of concubines? This is a handmaid that was given to Israel, or Jacob, by Rachel. Rachel couldn't have children. And in that culture, if your wife couldn't have a child, she could give her servant to you, and you could get her pregnant. And as long as the wife would sit when she had the baby and straddle her, the child would be hers. Well, what they do in America now, they take the seed of the husband and put it inside the egg of the woman and call that a surrogate or surrogacy. Well, they didn't do all of that then. They just let you go ahead and let the woman have the baby, but it's going to be the husband's child. So she was given, and that's the way it was at that time. And so that's how you got that child there. I want us to see, and Dan is the one we're talking about. We're going to talk about some more of those children. But I want us to see that Hamath. Here we are looking at a map. This is the Great Sea. The Great Sea, again, is this part. This is Israel coming down. So you see the same picture on the screen. On the Great Sea, close, this is the Great Sea. If you follow my arrow down, I should be able to give you a different color. Give me a second. I'm going to try to pull up an arrow for you all. That will help a little bit. Now, I think... Oh, can you hear me? Okay, here... Read it again, Dre. I'm going to color it for you.
From the northern end, along the road of Hethlon, to Lebo-Hamath, as far as Hazar-Enon.
Here is Hamath right here. This is the Great Sea going down. And so this is the western end of the inheritance. Going down, you'll see that. So here is Hamath, and then you see this is the entrance of Hamath. This is why whenever you read it, you say they don't exactly know where it is. You got an entrance of Hamath here. It's a Hamath here. So they're not really sure, but it's on the western end going toward the Great Sea. This is where that area is. I want us to be able to see these things because as we go further along in this, we're going to need it. And this, look again, let me pull this down and come out of here, and then read it again, Dre, because it's going to talk about Damascus.
As far as Hazar-Enon, at the northern border of Damascus.
Here's your Hazar-Enon here. Right there, there's Hazar-Enon, you see it?
Uh-huh.
Hamath, Hazar-Enon, and again, it's coming around the area of the Great Sea. Read on.
And extending from the eastern side to the sea will be Dan, one portion.
So when we go back and we talk about Dan, and I pull the same picture back up that we had just a little bit ago, where I was going to Dan, I got to come back here because I'm going toggling between pictures. I want us to be able to see the areas. I have more windows open. Let me go back to that one and see if that'll give it to me. No, here, there we go. Dan, I should have looked at the top with my tube. Here is Dan at the very top. And you see what it was saying. You don't see all that Hazar-Enon. You see Hazar-Hetikon here. But it's saying from here to the Great Sea is Dan. Now, this may not be making a whole lot of sense to you all. But right now, this is the area that Ahmadinejad wants to destroy. This is the area that the people down here in Egypt, they want to wipe off. What's called the Muslim Brotherhood. This is the area that the people up in here, if you were up in here where Turkey is, they want to destroy all of these areas and get rid of the people. And this is the area that God said, I am giving to my people as an inheritance. Why am I giving this area to my people as an inheritance? Because I'm going to distribute my blessing to my people as I want to. Because see this area here? When I blow it up, this is where the sanctuary is. Here is the temple of God. So if you will, Dree, let's go back and read 48 and let's move to verse number 2.
Next to the territory of Dan, from the east side to the west.
When it says from the east side to the west, this is west at the sea. From the east side is going to come where we get, if you look where the Red Sea is, can you see this sea? And it looks like this is the border, that's the east side. Everything is going this way toward China, Iran, Iraq, etc. That's the east. This is the west. That's why they call America the west. We'll be all the way over here somewhere, okay? So God has given them this land, this area, and so he said this is Dan's portion. Notice, if Dan wanted to be right here in the area where the temple is and he tried to take that land, he'd be out of order. Because God is determined, just like the building that I said, this is where you're going to be. I'm sovereign. I choose this. This is your area. This is your border. And period, this is where it's going to be. I will submit to you that there's a time when God gives portions to his people. And it may not necessarily be land. But whatever God gives you, and that's yours, no one is to take it, and you're not to give it away. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Dree, that I love so well.
Next to the territory of Dan, from the east side to the west, will be Asher.
Now notice when it says from the east side to the west, verse 2, is Asher. Let me show you how that works. When I pull this up, what you see is your bottom portion is Dan, where it cuts off. Now there's not necessarily going to be a line on the ground, but where his portion stops, all you do is go from the east side to the west. You don't have to say, well, where Dan stops, because we're dealing with it in order. So then where Naphtali will stop, that will be the end of Asher. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's just like these chairs. Where that chair stops where Brother Damien is, then it's to the right side of him. There's no seat. Well, you know, no seat. On the left side is where Brother Charles is. He shouldn't be sitting in Brother Damien's lap.
Amen.
All right, so much for my humor. Go ahead.
Next to the territory of Asher, from the east side to the west.
From the east to the west. This is where we're going. East. You see, Zadad, Hazarian. This is some of the place we read in 47. From the east to the west, when you get to the west, you're at the sea. You don't own the sea. Please read.
Will be Naphtali.
Naphtali, east, west, Naphtali.
One portion.
These three are the sons of concubines. If I'm not mistaken, I had Ann to look it up. Dan and Naphtali come from Bilhah, Rachel's concubine. I mean, Rachel's not concubine, but Rachel's handmaid. Mm-hmm. Asher comes from Zilpah. Now look way down here at the bottom. There is Gad. That's the other one that comes from Zilpah, Leah's handmaid. Now, before we even go through all that, I just want you to just look at this map. Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Those are the ones that come from the handmaid. At the bottom, Gad. In between, these are the sons that comes from the wives. Isn't that something? What if they said, we don't like that? It looked like they get the best portion. Yes, but who got theirs first? You got yours first. You up here at the top of the red. You up here close to the turkey. We don't fully understand exactly what all the benefits were, but this is the portion that God is giving. And we talk about it a little more as we move on, because with these maps, it might slow me down. Read some more, Dree.
Next to the territory of Naphtali, from the east side to the west.
From the east side to the west. What is the west side, saints?
Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean. What's the other name of the Mediterranean?
The Great Sea.
The Great Sea. Now, this east side to the west, it looks like it's lined up with the Jordan River, but you can see it comes out even more at the top. So you can take the motif that is given by people, or you can look at it yourself and see that the east side goes all the way past Damascus and up a little above it. And that's the area that they're fighting in now. It's very relevant that you see that God has given them that. So now we have Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, sons of the concubines. But what do we get after that?
Next to the territory, from the east side to the west, will be Manasseh.
Manasseh. Do anybody remember who Manasseh's mother, not necessarily mother, father is?
Joseph.
Because I don't think I remember her name. I think she was a priest of On, but I don't remember they gave her name.
Daughter of
the, thank you. You're a beautiful person, Dree. Now, so what we're looking at is, this is the oldest son. Remember, Manasseh was first, Ephraim was second, and Ephraim, he was the one that was preferred over Manasseh. But in here, we see Manasseh come first. So we see Manasseh is given next, the oldest. Then after him, what do we have?
Next to the territory of Manasseh, from the east side to the west, will be Ephraim.
So we have Manasseh and Ephraim, the same. You have the same people that were in the northern part before. But we also see them being even closer to the holy district here. Here's the holy district down here. And here's the picture. When people talk about the lost tribes of Israel, the lost 12 tribes, when we see this here, God's design was for the whole family to be together, for me to have a portion for each one of them. And notice the way that it's set up. As they all would go down to worship, they all get to go down through each one's tribe, go up to each one's tribe, to the Holy Land. There should be no strife. There should be no strife. You got a portion, we got a portion, but you come through as you go on those three times a year, and you all are able to come together. You are all able to fellowship together for one purpose, coming to my holy sanctuary so that you can worship, and that this water would flow out here going to the Dead Sea to liven everything up. And we'll talk about more what they're going to do in the districts as we move along. Read some more, please.
Next to the territory of Ephraim, from the east side to the west, will be Reuben, portion.
Do anybody remember the order that Reuben came in?
The first one.
Can anybody remember something wicked that Reuben did that was so wicked and detestable that it cost him?
He took the handmaid of his father.
Laid with the handmaid of his father. Yeah, I believe it was Bilhah. And so what we have is Reuben has a portion, and his portion, if you see it, ends where the Jordan River. See the Jordan River here? The east side of the Jordan, not over the Jordan River, not over it, but from the Jordan to the Mediterranean. The next one.
Next to the territory of Reuben, from the east side to the west, will be Judah, one portion.
Now here's the beautiful thing. Jacob had said that the scepter would not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver till Shiloh come, right?
Uh-huh.
And unto him will the gathering of the people be.
Uh-huh.
In this holy district here, I should blow it up, but I'll do it in a few minutes. In this holy district, can you all see it?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the temple is.
Okay.
Who is supposed to be enthroned in the holiest of holies there?
God
is supposed to be enthroned in there with the gates closed to the east. And he's supposed to be right inside of there. And guess what? The gathering of the people is going to be coming right there to where God's presence is. And is right there in Judah. Now, we understand there'll be a further fulfillment of that. But look at how this thing is working. Here is Judah, the one that stood up for his brother. Here is Judah, the one, Father, you can depend on me, my life, if I don't bring your son Benjamin back. All right, so Judah is here, and look at the holy district. Read the next part.
Next to the territory of Judah, from the east side to the west, will be the portion you donate to Yahweh.
Will be the portion that's donated to Yahweh. Which verse are you in? I want to show you something. I believe in number 8. Look at what we have, where it says, the east side of the sanctuary will be in the midst. 9 is where it says the oblation. When you see in your version oblation, That word is teruma. That's an offering. That's a gift that's given to God. So out of all of what God gives you, Dree, out of all he gives you, Tim, a portion of what God gives should be given back to him as a tribute, as an honor to him. Even when it came down to the land, so when you see that word oblation is a gift. It's an offering. It's a voluntary contribution. It can either be to a person or to a deity, okay? Here's another one that you shall offer. Notice this word here where it says rim, and then you see yerum. This word here is to rise up. You ever read in your Bible about a heave offering? Mm-hmm. This is like a donation that is raised up. So this is a special piece of land. It's not special just because it's special, Bro Rich. It's special because this is where God says, this is where I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to be set apart. This is the part where my holiness is going to emanate throughout the land so that you all continually walk in my blessing. I can give you blessings. I can give you portions of land. But if I'm not there, you all already know what happens. If I'm not there, you're not protected. If I'm not there, you don't get your provision. You don't get your providence. And you don't have prosperity. And you don't get to go out and proclaim my name to the world. But when I'm there and you honor me like I should, look at what you see. You see, God can distribute his blessings to each one to fulfill his purpose because I'm there in the midst. But as we talked about earlier before we started, when you come into covenant with me, there are certain ways I'm going to be treated. Because I'm God. I don't play those games. I run stuff. Now, you can be on the side of my covenant where you're blessed, where I give you something to do, where you can benefit my cause, or you can be on the other side where you don't enter the covenant with me and you'll benefit my cause when people see that I'm righteous and that I will judge the wicked and the ungodly, and those on the covenant side will decide I don't want to break his covenant and be on that side because I see just as good as God is and keeping his word and his benefits and his promise and giving us blessing. He'll do the same thing on his other side. When I get on that side, he'll take away, he'll destroy, because not only do we see what he'll do to those that are not in covenant, we also remember what he had done to us. Remember, these people are being restored to the land. They have been put out, Brother Charles. In other words, when we look at it, those people, they have been scattered all over in here, Babylon area. They had been gone from this land. This was no longer where they were in control. They had been scattered over here toward Babylon. Okay, Tree, go back and read verse. I wanted to bring that out in verse 9 because that's the only place that I remember seeing that where they raise up the offering. Go ahead in 9.
The special portion that you donate to Yahweh will be 8 miles long and 3 miles wide.
The special portion that you offer to Yahweh is going to be 8 miles long. Now, do you all remember we covered some of that in the 47th chapter? Do you all remember that whenever God had a certain amount of land that was set aside for him, it's also going to be the land that's dedicated? I want to show you a picture that Dree read some of while I look to pull that up for us.
And as long as one of the tribal portions from the east side to the west, the sanctuary will be in the middle of it.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I backed up. The special portion you donate to Yahweh will be 8 miles long and 3 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
This holy donation will be set apart for the priests alone. It will be 8 miles long on the northern side, 3 miles wide on the western side.
There are no more questions.
3 miles wide on the eastern side and 8 miles long on the southern side.
Okay, what I want to do is I want to show it to you. Let me pull it up on here because the holy side, I don't want that. I feel like Josiah. Sometimes Josiah said, I don't want that. Let me try to go back to it now. Let me come down to the bottom. And then we should have, I have it here. This is not really what I want, but since it's here right now, it's saying 8 miles here, 8 miles here, and 8 miles here. Now, this is the outer court. So what we're going to have on the outside here, this is going to be the Zedekite side. right in here, up here, I'm sorry, this is the Zadokite side, and down here is the Levite side, and down here we're going to have common area. I'll pull it up, Dree, if you go ahead and read. I have it listed in a way that I don't see it, but I know I have it because I saved it.
It is for the consecrated priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept my charge and did not go astray as the Levites did when the Israelites went astray.
God remembers what they did wrong. We talked about that when we were reading the 47th. The Levites went astray and God remembered it. The Zadokites, they stuck with David and God remembered it. What that lets you know is that as a parent, do you all remember when we were going through the kings and I was dealing with the fathers a lot back then and I was talking about how the fathers have something to do with how the children are blessed or how they are cursed, etc.? If you all remember that, you think about it. I taught one time and I said the fathers can leave a legacy. They can leave a legacy for their children. I would submit to you that God, our Heavenly Father, because, you know, when we deal with fathers and Father's Day, I always like to go to the right father to see what the pure model should be. Here is our Heavenly Father wanting to give a legacy to His children. I will submit to you that the Levites whom God said, look, I will give you this priesthood forever. Yeah, He did. And look at what they did. They turned away from God. They moved from the covenant right of being able to approach God and to the place now that they can do the service, but they can't approach God. The Zadokites, which are still a part of the Levites, but they're a particular group, they get to offer the sacrifices and come close to God and receive the holiness of that. I would submit to you that the Zadokites left a legacy for their children. Zadok and his sons left a legacy for his children. And so when God is distributing the blessing, He looks at faithfulness. In the words of Dwight Pryor, the word is emunah. How faithful are you to God? Dan wasn't faithful. Asher wasn't faithful. Manasseh wasn't faithful. Ephraim, they were not faithful. It was only a few that we read about in Ezekiel 9 that were faithful. But this is God's love. This is God's grace that I want to restore the family. And when I do restore the family, it's not because of what they did. It's because of who I am. And therefore, when I do grant grace, when I do grant repentance, things are still like they are. It's only, you're going to be placed where I put you. And that's what I'm saying. Read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
It will be a special donation of them for them out of the holy donation of the land, a most holy place adjacent to the territory of the Levites.
Which verse is that? Because
12.
Verse number 12. You see right here where it said this is an oblation of the land? This is important for us to see the Eretz, the word land. This is the blessing that God was giving them. This is the blessing that He's spelling out. And He is proportioning the land out from the east to the west. Within the portion of what He gives, He has His sanctuary there. I talked about this Thursday night. You remember we talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And I say, I don't believe that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was evil. But I believe that it was sacred, it was set apart, and that it was holy. Even in this land that He's given them as a proportion, you have a sacred place that's mine. It's got to be honored. I would submit to you that we men that are married, every other woman that's out there, they are so sacred to us, we're not to touch them. We have one that we can have, our wife. It's not that God is doing something any different. It's the fact sometimes you can have a lot of stuff and one is set apart. Sometimes you can have more and one thing is set apart. It's God that's doing the determining. And until we begin to realize that God is the one that set the boundaries, because that's what the portions are, that's what His gifts are, until we determine in our mind that God set the boundaries, we'll go break His boundaries and we'll put ourselves outside of His covenant because we don't recognize Him as being God. We'll want to be autonomous or self-ruling people. And that land that He was giving them is the land that other people want to come in and break his boundaries and take. But then again, we've been through Leviticus 26 so much, when his presence was there and he distributes his land, no one could come and take it. No one. It has to be that when they break the boundary that he would expel you from the land. Then go back to 13 again and read, it's so good.
Next to the territory of the priests, the Levites will have an area 8 miles long and 3 miles wide. The total length will be 8 miles and the width 3 miles. They must not sell or exchange any of it, and they must not transfer this choice part of the land, for it is holy to the Lord.
Now, what you need to understand on this, when they talk about the Levites, they will not be able to transfer any of the land. Listen to what it's saying. Against the border of the priests, the Levites will be. I'm going to try to, I don't see my picture, but I'll make a picture come up in a minute. The Levites will have part of the land, and then the Zadokites will have part of the land, but they can't sell it. Why is that? Because God is their portion. They cannot sell the land. The other people can sell different portions. If you're in Dan, you're in Gad, you all can sell land to each other, but it's as long as you're in that land. Do you remember, anybody remember the daughters of Zelophehad or Zeholophehad when their daddy died and they came to Moses? We just daughters. Why we can't have inheritance? And Moses, I don't know what to do. He went to God, and the information he was given, they can inherit. They can only marry within their tribe. But if they don't marry within their tribe, then they can forfeit the land. But as long as they marry in their tribe, they keep the land. In this case, the Levites shall not sell it. They shall not alienate or get rid of any of the first fruits of the land, because God said, this is my portion. I'm your portion, but when I let you live here, when I let you dwell here, you don't give it up. Somebody said, well, I wonder how that would even have anything to do with us today. How do you live? How do you use your body? How do you use your time? Do you exploit what God has given you and you take it and you give it away to the work of Satan? Or you just actually just let it go astray and don't honor God with it as you should? In this particular case, you sell it, I'm no more to deal with it. What's the difference in you selling it and it no longer is going to be yours to use because it's still God's, and a man to take his talent and bury it? What's the difference? I'm not going to use it to offer it to God. I'm not going to offer God the work that's supposed to be done on it. No, I'm going to sell it and benefit. And I submit that a lot of people, the Levites that had been there before, they sold themselves. Where do you get that from? I believe it's Judges chapter 19. Yeah, it was a man, I think his name was Micah. He stole some money from his mother, and he went and made him a little idol. His mama found out about it, but then when he found out he made a little idol, she was okay with it. He went and hired a Levite. I hired me a Levite. And I'm good now. Well, the people of Dan, who we see getting this first portion, they went and took the Levite that the man had hired with his money. And then when the man came out crying, chasing him down, said, let me tell you something. You need to back off. You need to back off, partner. Let certain men among us fall upon you, and you'll be hurt. Well, we're not going to have the Levites in that position to do that anymore. Neither are they going to sell themselves or their property, because they're going to be dedicated to God. Read the next verse, please, Dre.
The remaining area, 1 mile wide and 8 miles long, will be for common use by the city, for both residential and open space. The city will be in the middle of it.
Read some more.
Verse 16. These are the city's measurements: 1.5 miles on the north side, 1.5 miles on the south side, 1.5 miles on the east side, and 1.5 miles on the west side. Okay. Verse 17.
I want to show you what's going on here in 16 and 15. and 15 when it says the 5,000, what's the word that's used in Holman for the 5,000 that are left in the breadth against the 20,000?
The remaining area, and it says it looks like a fraction of a mile wide. It doesn't specify what
if you're reading in King James, this common area is called a profane. So profane is not always bad. Profane is when you profane the holy. When you treat the holy as if it's common. That's the point that I wanted to bring out. There's an area that God has given for common area. There's an area that's set aside where the people could come in, they could work, where they would be able to eat, they would be able to raise crop. That they have a profane area. It's common. So it's not the fact that God is unreasonable.
We can't come in the temple and do like we want to do. The priests get to be up in there. All that's in Judah's land and in part of Benjamin.
Because it's going to go to Benjamin. This is like a cutaway. Remember, we stopped with Judah. Now we're going back into what we covered in 47 here. And some of the commentators don't like that. They think that what happened is that somebody came back in what is called redacted after the fact and put this in, as opposed to somebody telling a story and come back and telling it again. How many times have you told somebody the same story, Rich, and maybe your son started laughing? I've been riding with D before, and it's like, Tim, I've heard this story before. God knows that we do it, but Ezekiel can't. Why not take into consideration that if it's being repeated and it's talking about the holy place and it's talking about what is sacred and it's talking about that there's a small strip that's profane, why not take into consideration that that's very, very, very important that you get that right as opposed to somebody went and added something to the scripture. That's all I got to say about that. That's how Forrest Gump talked. That's all I got to say about that. 16th verse, go ahead.
These are the city's measurements. 1.5 miles on the north side. 1.5 miles on the south side. 1.5 miles on the east side. And 1.5 miles on the west side. Verse 17. The city's open space will extend 425 feet to the north, 425 feet to the south, 425 feet to the east, and 425 feet to the west.
Read on.
The remainder of the length alongside the holy donation will be 3 miles to the east and 3 miles to the west. It will run alongside the holy donation. Its produce will be food for the workers of the city.
Do you see that in the profane area, there's work? The people are coming to worship, and they're going to be able to have food. They're going to be able to supply the priest that's working there. Because if it were not for that, all the priests would get to eat. You got your first fruits, and you got animals. You got this river that's coming down, making everything alive, and you got the stuff coming off the trees that they can eat off of now. Now you have this profane area where you can work. You got an area of the city where people can work. They'll have the ability to raise produce. They'll be able to eat. And it says in verse 18, the residue in length over against the oblation. The oblation, when you see that word oblation in verse 18, that's the contribution of God of the holy portion will be 10,000 eastward. I believe you had many miles that were broken down on that. Then it talks about west again. Eastward, going toward, well, the way that the map is that way, let me do it this way for you all. Eastward is going, Eastward is going toward Babylon, etc. Westward is going toward the Great Sea. You see, when I face it, it's turned around. So when I'm facing the same way that the map is, that's going to be the west. That's going to be the east. All of your things are showing westward and eastward. Are you noticing that? Why is that? God, for some reason, seemed to like the area east. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. He hasn't changed. He really hasn't changed. When he went out, guess which way he went? Toward the east. And I don't know fully what that means, but he is letting us know of his consistency. Read some more, please.
Verse 19. The city's workers from all the tribes of Israel will cultivate it. The entire donation will be 8 miles by 8 miles. You are to set apart the holy donation along with the city property as a square area. Verse 21. The remaining area on both sides of the holy donation and the city property will belong to the prince.
Now, on the west side, you got your land here, the holy donation, the square. Uh-huh. Your temple is in the middle of the square. Uh-huh. I don't know why. I mean, I've been clicking and clicking and clicking. It's as if I didn't save it properly. But I had a beautiful picture of it. So now we got to deal with my brain and me drawing. Because I can draw.
Is that it?
Huh?
Is that it? No.
I think that's good enough. What website are you
that's
on?
It's on the same one that you had.
I had one that was colored. Oh. And I wanted to use the colored one. But let me go.
Okay. That's on the same one.
It's on the same one of this one?
Of the tribe.
Okay, that may be why I missed it, because I really wanted you all
yeah,
to see.
It's on that same page.
Now I'm gonna come here. Let me see. I don't see it in my pictures, Anne. Because what's happening is, let me tell you what's happening. On this computer, uh-huh. It cuts my screen. Yours is big. So normally I would have a whole, you see how it cuts off my screen here? Now I can show it to you all in this area here, but this is...
With the plus on it.
With the plus?
The blue.
Right here?
All the way over at the
Bible map. The second
this
from,
one?
The second from the right.
No, you're not even there.
The second tab from the right. Where it says Bible maps, it's got a blue cross next to it in a circle.
Right there, over to the other one. No, you added another page.
Okay.
See what it?
Oh, the first one. Okay. That one? The second one?
I don't think this is what.
It's the Bible AD, the one that filled the map. You don't have the map anymore of the tribes lined up.
I did, but I mean, it just disappeared. Okay. And it's getting, it's showing me. Yeah, I mean, I really didn't want to make you all suffer with my drawing, but because I had it set. That's what it looks like I'm going to have to end up doing. I'm going to try one more click and see if I can pull it from here. Because I had it separated for you all, and something I did wrong. I don't know what I did. Because I know for a fact it would look better. This may be the one here. No, I can do one more thing. I'm going to just go and type in BibleAG.com. I'm not going to put a .com because it might be net. And I think it's right here.
And
no.
It's right under these tribes. Distribution of the land. Keep going down.
I went to the bottom. That's the bottom.
That's,
you find it. Take this while I draw.
Okay.
Because I don't like to take a long time looking for stuff. It bores me out. I can draw it. Okay, so what we're looking at, I thought I could draw it. Let me see. Well, this one right. Okay, you got a holy portion of the land, and you got a temple here. So this is going to be your north at the top, south, and then you have the east and the west. The west is the Mediterranean Sea. And here you got the holiest of holies, and then you have the holy place, you have the altar. here, and you got the court. That's going to be your inner court. And I'm going to make the outer court smaller than it needs to be. Outer court. You have gates for the inner court, gate for the outer court. Gate for the inner court, gate for the outer court. Then what we talk about here, we got places. If I change the color, so you and the gate for the inner court and outer court. Above this, we have place for the Zedekites. These are the ones that's going to offer. We have for the Levites. Remember, they have these little storage rooms here. So when it comes down, you have a border around it that's holy, that's separated. Then we talk about coming down here, and we talk about the room for the city. That's what we're talking about. And that I had the picture saved. I don't know how I lost it. It was colorful. It was pretty. It was better than my drawing. My drawing, I'm not Gary, okay? But if you'll notice, Judah on that picture, and pull, at least go back and pull up my the one where I had the tribes distributed.
It's still loading. That's why you went to the bottom. It's still loaded.
It's still loaded. Close it out, because it might shut down the computer. Judah, it comes down in the Judean section, okay? So Judah still have this section, but God's portion is in the middle of it. Under Judah, when we get out of that section, we'll have Benjamin. Not Benjamin Franklin. Those that were out here in the beginning know why I said that. So you have Benjamin, and you have Judah. And it's amazing that Judah and Benjamin, where you see Judah, where the king comes from, Benjamin is the son of the right hand. And it just seemed quite amazing to me that Judah and Benjamin is right there together. Isn't that kind of amazing? It really is. You don't see it. You can't pull it up anymore?
I don't see what you
do. Okay. Go ahead and read, Dre.
Oh, wait a minute.
Ann's still going to try to find it. But go ahead and read where you were while Ann is doing that, working my computer. That's what they do a lot of places. They have people that do that, that do their screen. So Ann is capable.
I was at verse 21.
Okay.
The remaining area on both sides of the holy donation.
She found it. I love her.
And the city property will belong to the prince.
Yeah, that's one of them. That's not the pretty one. But go ahead now. It'll belong to the prince. So this is the area that we're talking about in Judah. Mm-hmm. See my drawing where I say that's Judah and that's Benjamin? Mm-hmm. And see how much prettier this one is? That's Judah's portion. That's Benjamin. And in the middle, you see the holy portion. Mm-hmm. And on the outside, coming down here, it belongs to the prince. That's what it was showing. From here out belongs to the prince. I like the way it has that yellow glowing. That's God's portion. That yellow is his. Right there. That's his. Okay. Go ahead.
He will own the land adjacent to the tribal portions, next to the 8 miles of the donation as far as the eastern border, and next to the 8 miles of the donation as far as the western border.
And the reason this doesn't look as big is because it's giving you a bigger glimpse of it, that God is not taking all of it, but he's taking the central portion. The central portion is where your blessing flow from. The central portion is where they're getting their benefits, because other than him being there, they're just a group of people again. Please read, Dre. Mm-hmm. Keep going down.
The holy donation and the sanctuary of the temple will be in the middle of it.
Okay.
Verse 22. Except for the Levitical property and the city property in the middle of the area belonging to the prince, the area between the territory of Judah and that of Benjamin.
Now they're bringing Benjamin in. I brought Benjamin in it before it did, because I knew that's where it would be. So that's that yellow portion that you see right here. That's the portion where Benjamin is. And if I bring you this picture, you see here, your priest areas here. You see the farmland. You see the farmland right in here, and the city border. Okay, so what you're looking at is they're taking part of what's in Ezekiel, and then they're trying to take part of it and mix it in with Zechariah, and that's where Gary was coming up with that the other day. That you, it's like they're collapsing the two. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should collapse the two. I think we should leave them separate.
Let me see that you're doing a portion for the priest, right? The prince, I can see it if you do it.
Okay.
Go back right there.
Right here.
See, you can see the portion for the prince.
Okay.
On the outside going to the Mediterranean, but they changed the map around.
Mm-hmm. They changed the orientation.
The orientation of the map. Reuben, Judah, Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Instead of going downhill, mm-hmm. here's the sea. Mm-hmm. There's the prince. They're the outer part of it. Thank you, Ann, because this is definitely not the picture that I was looking at. And so north is here now instead of up and down. Read, Andre.
Verse 23. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side to the west will be Benjamin, one portion. Next to the territory of Benjamin, from the east side to the west, will be Simeon, one portion.
Now, Simeon, you remember Jacob said he did not want those two to be together, Simeon and Levi?
Yep.
Well, look at it. Here is Simeon right here.
Uh-huh.
Levi is going to be right up in here with the holy portion. They are not together. I mean, it's as if that very thing that he stuck, it stuck. Read on. Huh?
Next to the territory of Simeon, from the east side to the west, will be Issachar, one portion. Next to the territory of Issachar, from the east side to the west, will be Zebulun, one portion.
Do you see Issachar? It's going to be from the east. This is your east now, your east orientation, where this arrow going downhill. From the east to the west is Issachar. Then you move down to Zebulun. These are still the sons, if you look at it, these are the sons of Leah. Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun. Go ahead.
Next to the territory of Zebulun, from the east side to the west, will be Gad, one portion.
And Gad at the bottom, this is the last son of the concubine. This is the area that God has given them. This is the area where they're being restored to. This is the area where God is restoring them, giving them the land back. He promised Abraham the land. He promised them the land. He promised he would dwell in the midst of them. They were supposed to teach the world his nature, his laws, his character. They got thrust out of the land, and because of them being thrust out of the land, they lost their inheritance. And God was gracious enough to grant them repentance. And God, after a punishment and chastisement, would restore them back to the land and allow them the opportunity to have the very thing that was promised to them. And this is what their portion. It didn't mean that they would not ever be able to go out anymore and get anything else. This is what I'm giving you to start with. Remember, Adam was placed eastward in Eden. It didn't mean that you had to stay in Eden all of your life, Adam, that your children would not go out because I've told you to multiply and fill the earth. See, if God's going to bless these people with having children and multiplying, all of them wouldn't be able to stay here. But this is your portion in the land where it's supposed to come and learn of me and go out into the world and still do his will. Read on, Dre. Did I lose you on that? Okay, go ahead.
Verse 28. Next to the territory of Gad, toward the south side, the border will run from Tamar to the waters of Meribath Kadesh, to the brook of Egypt, and out to the Mediterranean Sea.
Now, I took that, and I want to show you a difference. We got a difference because if those have been studying, I know Ann had studied, and she had asked me about that. If you look in this, we'll see that this is kind of a layout that they had before, but it's a little bit different than what they had the first time when they got the land. Let me see if I can pull up here. I don't know why I'm having this kind of issues with my computer. I think what I'll do is I'll make stuff go small. Now, that's the one they have now. You know what? I know how to do this. I know how to close out stuff to get to where I want it to be. That's not the one I'll close it out to. Close them all. Close everything. Now, what'll happen, maybe I just have too many windows open. Now, I want to go and show where they had their numbers. Watch it come up now, because I got tired of playing. In Numbers, this is the land where they got the area here, going down through here in the book of Numbers, and God had given them the land in the original portion. They were coming down through here. This is where it was set up before. And their benefits came down here. And what happened is, we had some of them came on the eastward side of Jordan, Dan, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. They were close to the area of Damascus. They took that land. And so what happened is, they got something different than what God had for them to start with. And so now they're back where he would have them to be in the original place. And some of it is missing, but they're not separated from the tribe. And that's what happened, not tribe, but the tribes. Because that's what Moses told them one time when they were doing stuff. He said, don't mess up. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's where they come from. But we find people nowadays, they use that, be sure your sin will find you out. They say that when you do wrong, your sin will find you out. And they're not wrong for doing that. It's just one of the things that they did. Go ahead and read, Andre, some more.
Verse 29. This is the land you are to allot as an inheritance to Israel's tribes, and these will be their portions. This is the declaration of Adonai Yahweh. Verse 30. These are the exits of the city. On the north side, which measures 1.5 miles, there will be 3 gates facing north. The gates of the city being named for the tribes of Israel. 1, the gate of Reuben. 1, the gate of Judah. And 1, the gate of Levi.
Yes. So now we're dealing with the gates. And let me show you what happened. When we start reading the gates, then I was able to get what I wanted for you all to see. A little while ago, there it is right there. The district, the city, and the land is for the prince. When I said it was in color, that's what I tried to draw. The holy portion where you got your mile, you got your area for the Levites, you got the area for the temple and for the priest. Here is the temple itself. This little bitty dot. Yeah, that little dot. Because they got a lot of miles. The temple is 25 cubits long. And wide, it's a square. So the area, you got the Zedekites, the priest here. The Zedekites got this portion down here. And then you got the city district where you got your crops. Can you see it, Ann?
Yes, sir.
That's why I wanted you all to see it. And then the area for the priest goes to the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to the east to the Red Sea. The Red Sea, Jordan, etc. Does the picture look better than what I drew? That's why I fought for it so hard. I didn't want to give up. I wanted you all to see that the priest and the prince, I keep saying the priest.
I'm sorry, do you mean the Dead Sea? Or do you really mean the Red Sea?
The dead.
You keep saying red.
It starts with the D. It rhymes with the R. Because the Dead Sea is actually going down. And we don't want, that's down in Gad's area, and that's not where it is. Thank you, Gary. I'm glad you corrected me on that. Now we get to the gates. And Dre was reading about the gates of the city. If you notice, after we deal with the area, the land of Gaz, it tells you where it's going to be. Now you got gates to enter the city. It's not just wide open. You got gates, and it's going to be after the name of the tribes. Look at the order of the tribes, and it depends on how you read them. If you read it from east to west, west to east, north to south, the order that is going to come. So I'm going to go with what's listed here. They'll be named after the tribes of Israel because this is the inheritance of the family. This is God giving blessings to the family the way he wanted to distribute them. It doesn't mean nobody else can come up and get blessings. It doesn't mean, because we've already read in chapter 47, the stranger that's there is going to be treated right. The stranger that's there is going to be able to get benefits. Even the animals are going to grow. People are going to be able to fish and do things in that area. But it says the gates will be named for the 12 tribes. You got Northward, Reuben, Judah, and Levi. The eldest And then you get Judah, the one that the blessing come from, and so far as the one that's going to be the lawgiver, the one that's going to, Christ's going to come through, and Levi, the one that was the one at one particular time, he was the lawgiver. Moses was the lawgiver, Aaron was the priest. Then on the east side, it says 5,000, you have three gates. Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. So you got Joseph, and you notice they collapse Ephraim and Manasseh here. They call him Joseph, and you got Joseph, Benjamin, that's two. You collapse him, but then you still call him Joseph. So, but if you'll notice, sometimes Ephraim may be called Joseph. So you got Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. You got one of the concubines' name here. 33, Jeree.
On the south side, which measures 1.5 miles, there will be three gates. One, the gate of Simeon. One, the gate of Issachar, and one, the gate of Zebulun.
They're still separated. You have one of the sons of Leah, two of the sons of Leah, three of the sons of Leah. Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun on their gates. The next one?
34. At the west side.
The west side, you know it's going to be toward the Mediterranean.
1.5 miles.
Okay.
With their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, one gate of Naphtali.
Now you notice the gates, the way that the gates are set up, the gates are named after the tribe, but according to the way that you look at this, not only the way you look at this, but you see how this, the holy portion is in the middle? Now if you come down to where the big thing is, if I can go back up to it, this is not the one. The whole setup is big. The little portion is where the temple is. But if you notice, the gate of the city is larger than the temple. So with the point that I'm making is, and that you'll be able to see, the gate, the city is larger than the temple. The temple is here, but your gates are here. And the gates are named after the tribe, so the gates don't necessarily go in line with their portion. That's all that I'm showing. So it's as if all of them still have a portion in the holy district.
Okay.
Can you rephrase, the gates are not in line with their portion?
Yeah, if the gates are not in line with their portion. Dan is way up here in the north. But you have a gate, Dan, way down here where the temple is. And that's all that I'm saying is that your gate, your temple area is very small. Their property comes from about here down to here. So Dan, Asher, Naphtali wouldn't even have a portion look like inside the temple. And then when you come on down and you get Manasseh, Ephraim, Judah, Benjamin, as you come down here, it's like, oh yeah, Judah gets to be in there. Judah gets to be in there. Benjamin gets to be in there. No, in this little area, you got three gates this way, north, three gates east, three gates south, three gates north, where all of them are represented. They're almost like when the high priest had all of them represented on his breastplate.
So in the three times of the year when they came down to worship, did they have to go in through their own gate?
I don't know, but it's curious, you know, or would it be forced to go in through another gate? I would think, that they might have to go in through their own gate. But the real question is, if they have to go in through their own gate, do they have to circle around and come back out and go out their own gate? Which wouldn't be, it doesn't tell me. Can we vote and see what we think is going to be?
Well, if they come in through one gate, then they can't go back out through.
But that's a different gate. Now that gate is the gate toward the temple area.
Okay.
This is the gate into the land.
Okay.
Right, into the city, the portion of the Holy Land.
Okay.
Right. And it's just like when you talk about the 12 gates in the book of the Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
They have gates. And they have the pillars.
Dan is not mentioned in Revelation.
I don't know. Some people think it's because he apostatized.
Right.
But I don't know. I'll have to struggle with that in the future because I'm going to try to figure out what other people have said. The best that I know of is what he did. But, I mean, the rest of them apostatized as well. They really did. There was not one tribe that did not have people that apostatized. Somebody said, Judah didn't. I said, well, what was Solomon? What tribe was he from? What tribe was David from? Judah? And Solomon wasn't his son? Yes, he was. You have people that apostatized in every tribe. But that northern group, they never had a righteous king. Never. Never had a righteous king, and they did their dirt continually. Where were we, Dre?
Verse 35. The perimeter of the city will be 6 miles, and the name of that of the city from that day on will be Yahweh is there.
The name of it is going to be Yahweh or Yahweh, and then when you look at the Hebrew Shema, all of that giving, all of that distribution, all of that setup where your gates are going to be, all of the setup of your portion, all of the setup is actually set up around my portion. I'm distributing. I'm giving you from the east to the west. I'm making you all go through each other's tribe, except for Judah. Judah doesn't have to go through all of the tribes. Benjamin don't, but the further away you get from the temple area, the more you come through each other's tribe to get to the central area. And that's where you come to the place where you offer my oblation 3 times a year to make your hag, H-A-G, your hag. That's the way it's pronounced. And God is going to bless in that area, and that's what they were looking forward to. That's what they were promised. And that's what Cyrus was trying to help them get, to get their temple. Cyrus, Darius, you want to call him Darius. This is what God was trying to give them. This was Ezra and Nehemiah. I believe they were trying to get them to build this. And as you know, some of my discussions, they had a lot of fighting. They had a lot of lies. These Jewish people, you know, they trying to build this temple. You know, they build that temple and stuff. They've been some cantankerous kind of people. They subjugate people. They're not gonna pay tithes. They're not gonna pay their tribute. They subjugated other people. And what they did was they fought against them getting God's blessing distributed to them. They fought against it so much so that the people said, well, we'll build our own houses. Uh-huh. And when they built their own houses, Nehemiah said, what's all of this? Uh-huh. Well, hang on, what? You got houses of cedar? Uh-huh. And you hadn't gave God his portion? What kind of mess is this? And so they got with the program, built God a house, and it did not reach this size. The cities did not reach this size. Nehemiah rebuilt walls with a sword and trowel in his hand. And they still did not get back to what God wanted. That's why people say that there is going to be this millennial temple where this has to be done. And they want to say what Zechariah talked about. When we do Zechariah, you're going to see some things that's similar to so different. In Zechariah, you're going to have water running from where the Dead Sea is to the Mediterranean. But I did not see that in here. And in order for that water to run there with the mountainous area, they're saying that in Zechariah 14, where Messiah will come on top of the mountain, and when his feet come, the mountain is going to split east to west, and the water is going to run through there to the Mediterranean. And so to collapse it and say it's all is one, I can't justify and do it. At least not this part in my life, I can't. I mean, I could do it because I've seen other people do it, but I don't see it collapsing like that yet. But we see what God had for them. We see that this temple is not built. And we know God is going to restore his people to that land. When? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen before what we call the millennium. But we keep talking about Christ going to come right now because America goes in threat. But other countries have been in threat. People have been being killed in China. People have been being killed in Afghanistan, Sudan, or whatever. And it's been a lot of years people have suffered over there in the East. So how many years do we have to suffer over here in the West before God does what he's going to do? But I don't see this as being the period where that's that 1,000-year rest in the book of the Revelation, because I'm seeing a lot of human people having babies, having children. I'm seeing people that's being told when you read this as the millennium being the prince, and he's having children. How can this be the resurrected David still making babies? There are questions that I have unanswered. So I give you the best that I have. And the best that I have is God going to restore the land. The best that I have that is going to be at the top of this area. And I did record that for you. That should come up for me real easy. Because the areas that we were talking about, and in the new order, I showed the different order. When we talked about that the other day at Eglium, remember that Ann was reading that for me, and I didn't really pronounce it properly. And but this is the area that you're talking about. This area, and Gedi and Eglium, we're talking about down in this area here, and they're going to come from the west to the east to these areas. Let me see if I can pump it up. Dre taught me that trick. And then, see, and Gedi here, and at Eglium, they said that this is the area that's called Qumran, where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this area here is what we're talking about. And then your temple is in this area. All this area has been promised, and that's where they found those caves. That's the land that God has promised. Now the real question is, in looking at God being faithful, in looking at God granting repentance, and looking at me not being able to pull my map up like I want to, does that thwart the plan of God? What is it that God is saying there? For those people, Aunt Ruby, that was hope. Remember when Ezekiel was saying this, they didn't see it. It was only him. They were still under the emperor Nebuchadnezzar. Some of them still were going through stuff where they had gone through famine. Some of the people were still in Jerusalem not seeing any hope. And Ezekiel, God is allowing him to either peer into or take him to the future and see that God is going to restore. That God is going to be in the midst of this again when it doesn't look like there's any hope. The cities burn, women raped. Children killed. People are on the ground like dog squeezed. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? Because the animals, he said, would eat your carcasses. The bird of the air and the beast of the field. You've been carried all the way over in here to Babylon. You've been scattered. Your land is gone. It looks like God has turned his back on you. No, what happens is people turn their back on God and they act like it's God that has turned their back on them. And all your hope is gone. Everything is lost except one thing. Those that had trusted God, they were marked. They were taken care of. But you're in suffering now because God's got to cleanse you. Just like the altar was cleansed, the tabernacle was cleansed. When God cleanses us from our own wicked and ungodly ways and grant us repentance, and then again, he'll restore blessings to us. He'll restore blessings just like he did to them. He said, I'm going to bless them, Ezekiel. I'm going to restore them. I'm going to give them an inheritance. I'm going to be right there in the midst of them. I'm not going to let a prince take over them anymore. What I've shown you, Ezekiel, from beginning to end, when I first started with you, I showed you me. Then I showed you them. Then I showed you my power. Then I showed you their wickedness. Then I showed you what the people did to drive me away. Then I showed you what other nations did to correct you and to jump on top of you. And they went too far. I showed you my judgment on my people. I showed you my judgment on the nation. Then I took all of these last few chapters from chapter 36 to say, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to give you life again. I'm going to, after I do all of that, I'm going to dwell in your midst. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you gifts according to my own will. What my gifts are going to be is your inheritance, and I'm going to be right there in the midst. You will not have a prince taking over you, taking you out of your land, kicking you out of your land, taking your inheritance. You're going to have an area where I'm there and I'm holy. I'm not going to leave. The gate's going to be shut, and you're all going to come and be able to worship me and be able to fulfill my purpose. What that would mean to us today is look, if we've gone outside of God's will, and God is knocking at our heart, and letting us see his word. He's given us a vision that I will give you an inheritance. I will give you something. I will dwell in the midst of you. I will dwell in your very, the very center of your heart. I will give you blessings. I will give you a portion. And when the time comes, I will raise you up from the dead and you will live and dwell with me forever. You won't have to look for a temple. You won't have to look for water streaming. I will be the temple. I will be the light of the world. You will live, you will rule, and live with me forever. But up until then, in the midst of your assemblies, I'm going to give each one of you all a gift. I'm going to give each one of you all a portion while I'm in the midst, where you can do my work. Lift up a holy offering to me. Lift up my name in the midst of this world so that they can see that there's some land that's set apart for God. People should be able to look at you as a piece of living earth. Yes, I said it. As a piece of living earth. And see that there's a piece of land right there that's dedicated to God. There's a piece of living earth right there that's dedicated to God. God is in the midst of it. And he's doing his thing. And that's where I want to be. I want to be a part of that. That's what I've gotten from the book of Ezekiel. I've gotten from Ezekiel God's mercy. I've gotten from Ezekiel, God's mercy comes at a price. One, he identifies himself, he identifies you. He talks about what you've done, why you deserve the judgment. When he shows why you deserve the judgment, I'm going to do it. But then after the judgment is over, I'll restore those that have a heart toward me or those that repent. That's the message that I get from Ezekiel. And I'll never forget this book. And the second time I go over it, I think it's going to be even easier. Father, thank you for your blessed, holy, and righteous word. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and mercy. And I ask you, Lord, to just like you showed Ezekiel, you would be in the midst of those people, and that you would be able to restore life to the dead. You showed it in two ways. You showed it with the dry bones, and you also showed it with the water that comes from under your temple. You showed that you would restore life, that you would give portions to your people. Help us to realize, Lord, you'll do the same for us. You can show us who you are. You can bring life to our deadness. You can dwell in the midst of us. And you can let us flow out from amongst your holy sanctuary, and that we can bring life to others as long as we're in your will and in your word. Help us, I pray, to be faithful, steadfast, and unmovable in your word. I ask this in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen, and even so, amen.